Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. I love geeking out at gardens and talking about gardens and going to gardens, and I love talking to gardening lovers. And so we have a great show for you today. If you missed the first hour, you can go ahead and check it out on iHeartRadio, Audio Boom, wherever you listen to podcasts. It will be playing there, but you can hear all of the show in entirety. You know, you can listen to it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or at 10 o'clock in the morning when you wake up normally, and you can hear it anytime. So we do thank you for being here today. Let's hear from John Denver. I think he's coming in now. And the dirty word of the day is gleistogamy. Gleistogamy. C-L-E-I-S-T-O-G-A-M-Y. Gleistogamy. It is a phenomenon in which plants pollinate themselves. The term gleistogamy refers to a marriage that is not open to the public. Gleistogamy showing flowers are known as gleistogamous flowers. This can include peas and peanuts and pansies and all members of the grass family. Violas, on the other hand, demonstrate both gleistogamy and gasmogamy. So gleistogamy is a sort of automatic self-pollination in which certain plants reproduce by means of non-opening, self-pollinating flowers. The gasmogamy, or open marriage, is the more prevalent reverse of gleistogamy, which means closed marriage. Gleistogamous flowers are produced by almost all plants that also produce gasmogamous flowers. The fundamental advantage is that gleistogamy requires fewer plant resources to produce seeds because it does not require the usage of pollen, the production of petals, nectar, or vast amounts of pollen. So gleistogamy is highly beneficial for seed production in unfavorable situations due to its inefficiency. After being badly injured by grazing, impatiens have been reported to produce only gleistogamous flowers and to establish populations on adverse sites. It has the obvious disadvantage of causing self-fertilization, which may prevent the development of genetically superior plants. So the features are that petals aren't particularly showy, and the flower's reproductive organs are still contained. The advantages are they don't have to expend energy or resources in order to produce magnificent flowers, and they do not rely on pollinators to pollinate them. In difficult and unfavorable settings, they still can develop seeds. So the dirty word of the day is gleistogamy, which means closed marriage. And so that is the dirty word of the day.
It sounds like it should have been like, I was going to say mahogany. Monogamy.
Like monogamy?
Yeah.
Is this an open marriage or a closed marriage?
Right.
So that's the same plant. So that's a fun dirty word that I found. And I'm going, wow, I did not know that.
I like that.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So if you have a gardening question, we're going to be interviewing Robin Thiessen and Carolyn Vonderberg with the Sanford Cultural Guild. And we have a wonderful event coming up in the next few weeks. We're going to talk about that. You're going to definitely want to hear them. And then we will be taking your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So we are getting a lot of great text messages, and we will be answering them when we come up. So again, we're going to be getting some rainfall Sunday and Monday throughout the state of Florida. Some parts of Central Florida are going to get very heavy rain. Clearmont, 2 to 3 inches. You want to make sure you're not fertilizing this weekend or tomorrow. Anything that you fertilize today or tomorrow, it's going to be washed away. So you're not going to get as the potential growth out of it as you should. You're just going to be wasting your money. So no need to be fertilizing before a rainstorm. Always fertilize after a rainstorm. Our April newsletter is been sent out. If you did not get it, you can go to she-consulting.com, and you can sign up for it. If you don't get it, just text me at 23680, and I will see that you get the newsletter. I will send it to you. Send me your email address, and we will get to it. You can also go onto our Facebook page, and you can hear, you can see all of the programs that we tape, and you know, we'll put it up there for you. And then also some more information. So again, today is the Florida Wildflower Festival. It is going to be downtown DeLand on Indiana Avenue. And come out and see us. We've got a lot of great talks. Stop by and see Quality Green Specialists while you're in DeLand. They have some beautiful fruit trees, native plants. And so it's going to be a great day, wonderful day for gardens. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. One of my favorite things to do as a landscape designer is walk through people's gardens to see what they have designed, what kind of inspiration they bring to me. And I will tell you, I love walking through gardens. And we have an event coming up that I'm really very, very excited about. So I wanted to have them on to tell you about it. I have Robin Thiessen and Carolyn Vandenberg. They are directors of the Sanford Culture Guild, and they are joining us this morning. Good morning, Robin. Good morning, Carolyn. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Teresa. Good morning.
Wonderful to have you. I am so excited about this. Robin, you give me chill bumps when I found out that Sanford was going to have a garden walk, and I wanted to find out all about it. So tell me, the Sanford Cultural Guild, your founder and directors, you and Carolyn, what is its mission?
Well, Sanford has such a great architectural, agricultural, artistic history, and we really want to enhance that and celebrate it through our work.
That's wonderful. And so, Carolyn, what kind of event is the Sanford Historic Garden Walk?
So the Sanford Historic Garden Tour is our annual fundraiser, and it's a grassroots community event that highlights the beauty of gardening, art, and Sanford's unique local culture.
Okay, so I want to make
sure. We first launched in 2021, and it's been growing ever since.
That I am amazed that I have not heard about it before. So you've been 2021, and so it is called the Sanford Historic Garden Tour. Okay, so yes, that's important. And so, Robin, what? So this is a fundraiser. What are you, is the Sanford Cultural Guild going to be doing with the monies?
Well, our biggest project is creating a botanical garden at the Sanford Museum. We are making a lot of headway with that, and so all of the funds from Garden 2 will go toward that project.
That's great. That's very exciting. And so, Carolyn, tell us the details. What day is it going to be on, and what time? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yes, so it's happening next Saturday, April 5th. Event headquarters opens at 9:30 in the morning for ticket sales and pre-purchase check-in. The address is 119 West 5th Street in Sanford. And the gardens open for touring from 10 a.m., and they close at 4 p.m. And just a quick note, we love furry friends and we're huge pet lovers, but this is a pet-free experience.
Yes, I understand that completely. That's a good thing. Okay, and so, Robin, so how are these open gardens selected to be included in your tour?
Well, we look for enthusiastic gardeners, people that love to share their gardens and talk plants with tour goers. So most of our homeowners have a lot of knowledge about the plants in their garden and what they've selected, and they love to talk about it, and they're enthusiastic. And, you know, we like to showcase a wide variety of gardening styles to show people there's not one way to have a garden, but, you know, many.
Different ways. That is so true. And like I said, I'm very thrilled about this. And so, Carolyn, so what will people be able to do or see besides just the gardens? Is there other things going on, activities going on?
Yes, there's so much to experience beyond the gardens themselves. Across from the event headquarters in Centennial Park, we host an artisan market and a plant sale, which is open to the public. So even if you're not able to do the tour, you can still support our local vendors. And then you'll also find artists in the gardens displaying and selling their works, with many creating pieces on site so you can watch their process. And on top of that, we have wildlife educators covering topics like bees, bromeliads, orchids, butterflies and pollinators, and even the Master Gardener program.
Oh, that's great. And so, Robin, will there be food there?
Yes. We have a catered tea lunch, which is a pre-order only, and that date until March 31st, and you purchased on our website. But we also have several food vendors in our artisan market. With a variety of sandwiches, sweets, drinks, coffee drinks, things like that. Something for everybody.
Wonderful. So now, can they still get tickets, Carolyn?
Yes. Tickets are available online at sanfordculturalguild.org. You can also purchase them on the event day at event headquarters, which is, again, located at the Betty Smith Cultural Arts Center in Sanford. That's 119 West 5th Street. As Robin said, their tickets are $15 in advance or at the door. And if you'd like to order a box tea lunch, those are $25.
Wonderful. And so, Robin, so will Easy Walk, are they all within the same area, the same streets? And what makes it historic?
Well, it's in the downtown historic district and the surrounding downtown area. So it's not always on the same street. Sometimes it's a walking tour. This one's going to be walking, golf cart, and driving. A little bit of everything. Just depends on how you would like to see the tour.
Okay. So now you talked about the monies being raised for the community garden. Tell us a little bit about that, Robin.
The Botanical Garden at the Sanford Museum is going to be an acre and a half. We're partnering with the city of Sanford. Highlighting Henry Shelton Sanford, the founder of Sanford, had test gardens in Sanford, and we believe some of his test gardens were right on the site of the Sanford Museum. So it's going to have a historical component to it, educational, showcasing native plants, pollinators. There'll be a rose garden, and eventually we're hoping an event space as well.
Okay, so can people become members of the Sanford Cultural Guild? How do they do that?
Yes, absolutely. On our website, you can become a friend of the guild, which is a $30 membership, or we have the next tier up is called a Gilded Lily, which is $100 or more. It's right on our website. You can go on there and support our different causes.
Okay, so what is the website?
The website is sanfordculturalguild.org.
Okay, I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
It's sanfordculturalguild.org.
Oh, that's very easy. That's wonderful. Okay, so Carolyn, tell us again the day and the time and how they can get tickets.
Yes, so the date is next Saturday, April 5th. The gardens open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can get tickets on our website, which is sanfordculturalguild.org, or in person at event headquarters. That's 115 West 5th Street, or 119 West 5th Street in Sanford. And just to mention as well, it's a completely self-guided tour, so you can explore at your own pace. When you check in at event headquarters, you'll receive a wristband and a program with the map and event details. And attendees are welcome to take photos, gather inspiration, and chat with some of the homeowners. And lastly, a few gardens also offer hands-on activities, such as a plant-your-own-veggie station and a fairy garden scavenger hunt. So that's great for all ages.
That's wonderful. And so this is a really exciting event. I've been thinking about this for years, literally, and I'm so glad Sanford and the Sanford Cultural Guild is really supporting this and doing a great job on it. So I am looking forward to it, and I will be posting for next week. We'll be talking about it too and reminding people so they can get tickets beforehand. But you can get tickets the day of. Now, where does it start? Where would they go to start the tour or get tickets?
So that is the location for event headquarters, the Betty Smith Cultural Arts Center, 119 West 5th Street. And then right across the street is our artisan market in Centennial Park. So even if you purchase tickets online, you would come there first, get your wristband and your program, and then you can begin the tour. And if you haven't purchased online and you show up day of, you would buy your tickets, get your wristband and program, and away you go.
Right, but they would not be able to go to the luncheon in the that day. That has to be pre-purchased.
Box tea lunch, yes, that's exactly right. The box tea lunch is pre-purchased. That's $25 in addition to the $15 ticket for the event, for the tour. And the deadline for ordering is next Monday, March 31st.
Excellent. Oh, I'm so excited. Spring is here, and this is a great way to enjoy it and get some educational value out of it and be inspired. So thank you so much, Robin, for coming on. Carolyn, thank you so much. I can't wait to be there and see how you put it on. I'm very excited.
We're so excited, too.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Take care. See you next week. And so, Lizzie, have I not been talking about this for years?
Yes, you have.
And
yes.
I said, you know, Florida is really, we need to get where people can visit other gardens and not just botanical and public gardens, but private gardens and see how the gardeners do it here in Florida.
Yeah. And especially for those that are new to Florida, that this is a adventure that, you know, that they really need because, you know, you move to a new state or a new climate. I mean, what other places like Florida? You see what I'm saying? So you have a lot of stuff that, you know, you may not be able to grow. And this is the best. This is the best idea.
And then, and so, you know, that's where I get landscape inspiration is visiting gardens. And no matter where they are in the United States or overseas, and you just see different designs and how people use companion plants and put it all together. And so that is this is just a marvelous event. And I'm very excited about it.
And what's the date on that again?
Saturday, April 5th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The sponsor of the event is the Town's Garden Center. The ticket cost is $15. You can purchase them online at sanfordculturalguild.org. Or you can do it at the day of the event at their headquarters, the Betty D. Smith Cultural Arts Center. That's at 119 West 5th Street, Sanford. And they're going to have 10 private gardens, plus the Sanford Community Garden. They're going to have a plant sale and the artisan market. They're going to have musicians and plein air painters who are outside in the open air, tablescapes. And so just a really fun event. So today, the Florida Wildflower Festival in DeLand on West Indiana Avenue. Come and see us and just let us know you listen to Better Lawns and Gardens. Go see Quality Green Specialist Nursery when you're in DeLand and say hi to all the good folks there. And they have beautiful fruit trees, native trees, lots of great plants. And I'll be doing the talking at 12 o'clock. Come up and say hi. I'd love to put a face with the voice.
Yes,
and say hello to you. And then, Lizzie, just next week is going to be another great event. So I'm all excited for spring.
Welcome to the perfect time for Florida.
I know. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be gorgeous. If you missed any of the events, I will post them on our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens. Go and like our page and you can see everything there. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens, and we want to thank Robin Thiessen and Carolyn Vandenberg with the Sanford Cultural Guild. They are directors, along with Sarah Clore, C-L-O-R-E, Sarah Clore. She is another director, and so if you'd like more information, you can go to sanfordculturalguild.org and find out more. So we do appreciate them coming on. And if you have a gardening question, you can give Lizzie a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We have a lot of text messages we're going to get. So in the first hour, We had a text message regarding their Chicago transplants. And so they are not plants from Chicago, but they've moved to the state of Florida and they are transplanting here in Rockledge. And so they have Crotons and dwarf Ixoras, and they wanted to know how to take care of them. So my best advice to you on Crotons and dwarf Ixoras in Rockledge is they are tropical plants that they need to be able to have irrigation or rainfall. So if we do not have rainfall, they're going to need to be irrigated twice a week. Dwarf Ixoras need to have acidic soil. So you're going to want to make sure that you're testing your soil. Make sure that the soil pH is acidic. And then you can put like a product like a Spoma soil acidifier on them. Okay, they do get nutritional deficiencies if the pH isn't correct. So you want it to be as healthy as possible, that dwarf Ixora. Acidic soil, acidic fertilizer. The Crotons are pretty good. They're very easy to grow. And they take sun or shade. If they are in the sun, though, they do need to make sure that they have moisture. They can't go weeks without water. They won't do well. But both of them will succumb if we have really severe winters. So you don't have to worry about winter right now. But if the temperature gets below 35 degrees, you will want to cover them up with a frost blanket. So really easy plants. They look gorgeous. Butterflies love the dwarf Ixoras. So good job. So let us know how they do. And so Deb in Stuart, Florida, she said, she asked about her 4-foot podocarpus hedge. She said 3 had died. And so I asked about the irrigation. So she texted back real good so that I can make just a little bit better determination. I really would, Deb, like to see what they look like. But something's gone on that the roots are not getting water or they're not getting enough water. And then there's some damage so that certain parts of the hedge, when you planted it, got damaged, either the roots or the branches. You've probably already cut them off. And so I don't know how to see what happened to them. But podocarpus is when you plant them, if the stems get damaged, they will turn brown and then you have to cut it off. The good news is that they're going to grow back pretty fast. So fertilize them on a regular basis. And by that, I mean, according to the label, with slow-release fertilizer, either every 3 months or every 6 months, depending on what the label says, to give them the energy and the nutrition they need to grow. And they will grow pretty well together. So by next year, you're going to have a really nice hedge. Okay? So don't worry about that. I just need to know, make sure that they're getting enough water. I don't want you to overwater. But, you know, if they get at least an inch to an inch and a half of water a week from either rainfall or irrigation, that will be plenty. So this weekend, they will get some rain. Check your irrigation, though. Make sure that they are getting water and that the root system is getting wet. I don't know how long you're turning the irrigation system on for. So to put down about an inch, you're going to need to calibrate it, which means you put a tuna fish can out there. Time how long it takes to fill that can up to an inch. That's how long you turn your irrigation system on for. Now, if it's twice a week, you can divide that in half. Okay, but make sure they are getting at least an inch to an inch and a half of water a week. All right, and that will be helpful. Let's see. Beverly in Tallahassee. I did say that. So I did talk about the poinsettias and the tulips. Thank you, Beverly, for texting. I just want to make sure I'm getting to everybody.
Yeah, and if you receive a text message back to us, I know Pat received it, says that your you've included an opt-out keyword when you text us. Technology's fun. They say we can't live without it. Just ignore it, because if you can't text us, you will not be able to text us, trust me. So just go ahead and just ignore those messages if you get them. So
isn't that annoying? I was wondering what that was about.
Yes.
Okay, so Tom in South Alabama, he says that he has, can Bahia seed be harvested and immediately planted, or must they dry, and if dried, for how long? Okay, so Bahia seed will germinate better if it is dried. So if you cut it off and you want to keep it at about 50 degrees, 60 degrees, you can keep it in your refrigerator, let it dry out, And then you can put it down about, let it dry for about 2 months, and then you can put it out. So yes, it can be harvested. You want it to dry, because if not, if it's not dry, it's going to rot. Okay, and with our rains during the rainy season, that's not going to necessarily be a good thing. So let it dry out, then you'll be able to germinate it much, much better. Great question, Tom. Colette in Winter Haven, she says, my 5-foot hibiscus bush is plagued with aphids. Can it still be cut and sprayed with neem or something? It does not get full sun, mostly morning sun. It's a couple of feet from the south side of the house and has been there at least 5 years. Well, some of the reason why you have aphids, Colette, is that it's not in the full sun. So it's stressing out, and when plants are stressed, they are more susceptible to insects. So I would like to say, if you can find another place to plant it in the full sun where it gets at least 6 hours of sunlight a day, that would be the best. And then you want to make sure it has good air circulation, it is getting enough water but not too much, and that you fertilize it on a regular basis. So I'm saying the location is a reason why you're getting the aphids. Now, hibiscus is very susceptible to chemical damage, which means if you put the spray oil on it or the an insecticide on it, it could damage the leaves. They just don't like chemicals. So be very careful. Follow the label on what you need to do. I would just use an insecticidal soap on it during the early morning hours, and then you probably will have to do a couple of applications on it. But it's not in the right location. You're going to have to get, I would say, move it, and you won't have the aphids. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We still have time for your phone call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And so I would love to say good morning to Ira, and your avocados look great. Let's not put them in until the summer rain starts. So let's wait until about June to put them in the ground, and that'll help you keep the root balls moist. If you put them in right now and we're still in our dry season, I don't know if you're going to be able to put enough water on there if we get super hot. So just hold on to them for, keep them comfortable till June, and then you can plant. So Linda in Zone 8B, she says, I have 2 beautiful 3 to 4 foot tall gardenia plants in 5-gallon pots. If I give them Epsom salts boost, how much and how often? And also, what regular fertilizer, when, and how regularly? She said, thank you. Well, thank you for listening, Linda. We love having your gardening questions. Okay, so Epsom salts is magnesium sulfate. Okay, so it's magnesium and sulfur combined. Now, when you put magnesium sulfate or Epsom salts on the plant, you're going to give it a boost. It's going to get energized, and it is going to do well. But it's not the only thing gardenias need, okay? So if you put down a fertilizer, acidic fertilizer, they need to be acidic fertilizer that has all of the macro and micronutrients in it, you're already giving them that magnesium and sulfur already. Can you put Epsom salts on them anyway? Yes, you can. Don't worry about it. Just, depending on the water amount that you're using, you can dilute it and put a couple of tablespoons of the Epsom salts into the water, and you can just water with that if you'd like, or just sprinkle it on the top and it'll go in. But that's not all your gardenias need. So I want to make sure that you're using a regular acidic fertilizer, say like an azalea fertilizer, okay? And that will be able to be absorbed by the gardenia, and it'll do much better, okay? So now, how often should you fertilize? Well, it depends on the fertilizer you're using. Read the label. it'll say, you know, fertilize every so many days, like every 30 days or every 3 months or every 6 months if you use a long-term slow-release fertilizer. So follow the label. The label will tell you exactly how often you need to do it. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How can I help?
Oh, good morning, Teresa. I have some varieties of the crinoid lilies.
Yes.
And some of them, like the pinks, get the scorch or the yellowing.
Yes.
On the leaves. What can I do about that? Or other varieties that are immune or what?
Yeah, there's nothing really you can do about it, Jerry. It is just a fungal issue. It's a rust in the plant itself. And sometimes they have it. I go years and I don't have them in my lilies, and then 1 year I'll have it. So what I would suggest is that you just keep them fertilized. You can cut off those leaves if they look too damaged. But it's going to alternate. So there's really nothing you can do about it. And I don't know if there's a rust-free hybrid or variety.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
That's good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hey, can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Sure.
Busy? Well, we're coming to the end of the show, so I've got a couple of ones that I want to get to, but go ahead.
You do? Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jerry.
Go ahead.
Yes.
The gall that forms and you get a wasp out of it.
Yes.
What do you do with that situation? Is there?
Yeah, there's really nothing you can do too with that. So once the insect, so that gall forms after the wasp has already poked the tree to lay its eggs in it. And so there's really nothing you can do. It's kind of you're just noticing it after the fact. Okay, Jerry, thank you for calling. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Scott in Palm Bay real quick. How can I help, Scott?
Hi, good morning. My grass has a lot of brown splotches. I've been referring to it as my lawn has the measles.
Okay.
What do you think it is?
It could be a disease issue. So what kind of grass is it?
The backyard has Bahia and the front has the, a better grade of grass.
St. Augustine or Zoysia?
Yeah, thank you.
St. Augustine?
St. Augustine.
Okay, and how often are you watering?
Well, the HOA has been watering several times a week, 2 to 3.
Okay, well, they're only allowed to water twice a week. Okay, and what time of the day are they watering at?
My system comes on at 8:30 at night.
Yeah, that's not a good time to be watering turf. I will tell you the humidity causes disease issues. It's better so that the grass is not wet for longer than 5 to 6 hours. Okay, so we can't help it in the summertime or when we get rain. But if we're also irrigating at night, you're going to be more susceptible to disease. So if you can send me a picture of it, I can diagnose it a little bit easier. You can just go ahead and she-consulting.com, send me an email, or you can do it on Facebook. Or you can just email it to me, teresa.watkins@live.com. And Scott, I'll be able to help you a little bit more.
Okay, but you don't think it's
No, bugs do not cause it to change color. It would be dead if it was a bug, not just changing color.
Okay, a fungus.
Yes.
Thanks, Teresa.
You're welcome. Thank you. Let's see. Real quick, the questions is, my Exora has rust spots all over the leaves. Leaves are dropping, look sick. Only rained 4 times. Diane in West Kissimmee. So is it getting irrigation, Diane? They do need to have water on a regular basis. They are not really drought tolerant, but they also, too, need acidic soil. So the rust spots is, you know, from rain or watering at the wrong time of the day. So I would just like to know a little bit more. It does look sick. Make sure you're fertilizing with a regular acidic fertilizer and make sure it's getting regular watering in the morning so it dries off. Brad in Gainesville, he wants to know, I have an Indo hydro garden and want to grow cherry tomatoes. Once the plants flower, it says I need to manually pollinate them. How do I do that? Jerry, that is a really great question. That's going to take me a little bit of time to talk to you about it. Okay, so let me put that off till next week, and I'll talk about it next week so you can listen to it too, and I will get to it. So Linda, yes, apple trees have a long lifeline. They will live 75 to 80 years, if not more, if they're happy, especially in the colder weather. Here in Florida, they're not going to live that long. So, yes, they do decline in old age. Then also, too, let's see. That's
We actually have a question through betterlawns.com. You can also submit your questions there. Dave from Lake Placid says, can I grow lilies in Lake Placid? No, lilacs.
Lilacs. Yeah, that's a little bit different. Lilacs, no. You cannot grow lilacs here in Florida. They just can't take the heat and the humidity. Okay, and that's really sad because they're beautiful and they're fragrant. The best that we can do, you can either grow a chaste tree, C-H-A-S-T-E, chaste tree, or crepe myrtles. Now, they don't have the fragrance. Well, the chaste tree has beautiful fragrance, but the crepe myrtles do not have a fragrance. And so those are some of the choices you can do. You can also do, let's see, what is some of the other ones? I will do some more. There's a couple of different other ones that can work that look like it, Jerry. But
maybe next week we'll cover that again, and I also forwarded the email to you. So,
thank
but
you.
Yes,
yep. I will do that. That's great. Thank you so much, Lizzie. I want to say thank you to everyone who called today. I really do appreciate it, Lizzie. We just have the best audience.
We have the best listeners. You guys not only do best texts, which is your first name and a location that you're wanting to grow something in, your questions about, but you guys call, you catch me, and you make me laugh, which I absolutely love that. So, and you guys are sharing with your friends, especially if they're new to Florida. So thank you for that.
Yeah, certainly do. I will be at the Florida Wildflower and Garden Festival in DeLand, downtown DeLand, West Indian Avenue. It's going to be today, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come out and see us. I'll introduce you to Lizzie. She's going to be going around, and we're going to have a great time. She's going to be the one that has the U-Haul with all the plants in it. And we have some great talks today. Dana Venrick, who is the owner of Quality Green Specialist, you're going to want to go by the nursery and look at all their fantastic plants. He's going to be doing edibles in the wild. There's going to be talks on native orchids and Central Florida wildflowers and container gardening and water-wise lawns. I'll be doing a talk on landscaping with edibles at noon, 12 o'clock. So you're going to be able to buy a whole lot of things, potted wildflowers, plants and seeds, all different kinds of garden planters, arts and crafts, botanical products. You're going to be able to buy honey and so much more.
And if you have allergies, I'm not a doctor, so don't take this as medical advice, but from my own experience, if you get honey from the area that you live in and you have allergies there, add a little honey to your stuff. So check with your doctor. Don't go by what I say, but that's what I use.
I've read that before, and so I think you're right about that. And so thank you, Linda. Thank you to all our texters. We loved this. Thank you for our callers. I certainly appreciate it. I want to say thank you to Robin Thiessen and Carolyn Vonderberg with the SanfordCulturalGuild.org. And we'll love to see you next week out at the Sanford Historic Garden Tour.
And that's exciting to see.
Isn't
that?
It? I am very excited. I have been wanting this to happen for so long, somewhere in Florida, and I think so many more opportunities for cities to bring in ecotourism to our state. So it's a great opportunity. I'm going to get to the pollination next week. Thank you very much. Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed anything from the show and would like to go back and hear it, it's easy. Go to betterlawns.com and click on the podcast area and listen to it there, or search Teresa Watkins on any of your favorite podcast platforms.